Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker.
This is our Native American bird that has become a French classic. They call it dinde rôti. So it's roast turkey today on the French Chef.
That, of course, is the voice of Julia Child, the iconic American chef, and that was from a 1971 episode of her PBS show, The French Chef. Child hosted a number of television shows. Some were even shot right in her kitchen in Cambridge. And while Child's story has often been described as one of a lot of passion and luck, she was also someone who, through determination and grit, reinvented herself later in life. Her great-nephew, Alex Prudhomme, writes about Child's second act, as he calls it, in the new book, The French Chef in America. Prudhomme is the co-author of Child's memoir, My Life in France, and he joins us from NPR New York this Thanksgiving week, which we want to talk about as well. Alex, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, Deborah. Glad to be here.
Well, thanks so much. And listeners, we want to tell you that we want to hear from you as well. Did you learn about cooking from Julia Child? Do you have any memories of Julia Child that you'd like to share? Did you know her when she lived in Cambridge? And are there any Julia Child recipes that will make it onto your Thanksgiving dinner table or have in the past? You can call us with your recipes, with your thoughts, with your remembrances of Julia Child at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. So, Alex, let's start with Julia Child's return from France to the U.S. Remind us of what it was like for them to return.
Well, Paul was in the Foreign Service, and he and Julia had lived in France and in Germany and in Norway in the 40s and 50s, which was at the time when television was just starting up. They retired in 1961 and moved to Cambridge, bought a big gray clapboard house behind Harvard Yard and settled in. And the food landscape was a little scary. It was the land of meals in a can, iceberg lettuce, Jell-O with marshmallows. It was kind of scary. And Julia had, in the meantime, become this wonderful French cook and was eager to share her lessons.
Hmm. What was she like as a family member?
Well, the Julia that you saw on television was the Julia that I knew in real life, slightly amplified, I think, for television. But she was large, funny, strong-willed, full of opinions, and just great to be around. Even when it was just the two of us working together at the end of her life, we were joking back and forth and gossiping about movies and politics and culture.
Mm. So she was sort of a natural fit for what she did in a way.
Yeah, there was no model for what she did. She was not the first cook on television by any means, but there was no one who had become a celebrity chef in the way that she had. And so she really operated by gut instinct, if you will, just kind of making her career up as she went along. And in many ways, you know, she was a revolutionary and a pioneer and did things that no one had done before and anticipated a lot of what's happening today by decades.
What do you think she'd make of, I'm sure people ask you this, what do you think she'd make of this whole celebrity chef, chef competition, Iron Chef, oh my gosh, I can't even keep track of all of them, TV shows now about cooking? What do you think she would think?
I think she'd have a big laugh. I think she, on the one hand, I think she would be frustrated and disappointed because, you know, for her, she called cooking a civilized art and she loved it for its camaraderie and its creativity, not for the kind of faux competitions and soap opera melodramas that you see on TV now. But on the other hand, this 24/7 culinary circus we have has inspired so many people, and it's brought a whole new generation or several generations along to food. And so now people are cooking more, talking about food more, going out more, buying more gizmos and gadgets. And, and she was all for that. She just wanted people to enjoy food And so I think she'd have very mixed feelings.
Right. Do you think that maybe she would feel that some folks have dealt with food or in the whole culture and atmosphere around eating now that is so popular and thinking that it's almost become too precious in a way?
Could be. I mean, I'd hate to put words in her mouth, but, you know, she was about making food delicious and fun. And she had this very optimistic worldview. She didn't like people who were too concerned about fat, for example. She would call them the fat police. And she would encourage you to eat more butter and more cream.
So there were no vegans.
In moderation.
No vegans.
Yeah, yeah. She didn't like macrobiotics. She didn't like vegetarians. She didn't like nutritionists. Or at least that's what she said. I think partly for that she would say these kind of somewhat inflammatory things to kind of stir up the pot and get the conversation going, because the more people talked about food, the more they cared about it. And so she was, you know, intentionally provocative at times. But I don't know. I think she, as long as people were actually cooking and not just talking about it, I think she would be all in favor.
You know, I have a little bit of tape here from her show from when it began in 1963. And, of course, the episode was about beef bourguignon. And I may be butchering the French pronunciation here. How do you say it, Alex?
It's boeuf bourguignon.
Oh, boeuf bourguignon. There, how do
Which really means just beef stew.
Okay, great.
It sounds fancy, but it's not.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of tape here of how Julia opened that very first episode of her show.
Hello, I'm Julia Child. Welcome to The French Chef and the first show on our series on French cooking. We're going to make boeuf bourguignon, beef stew, and red wine. And it's a wonderful show to begin our series on because it shows you so many useful things about French cooking.
Now, as your book explains, Alex, this was what you call a second act for her. She was, I believe, about 50 years old at the time when she started mm-hmm. the show. Where do you think she got the confidence to do this?
Well, Julia described herself as a ham, so she did like to perform. She was very self-confident, although modest as a person. And I think it came from two places. First of all, this natural instinct of hers to be a teacher. She just loved to share her own interest. And that interest was sparked by the food of France, which she just fell in love with. And so she had this, what I think of as her special sauce, where she had spent years in obscurity learning her trade, practicing, making mistakes, doing it over again, making recipes again and again, teaching classes, writing the first book, which was Mastering the Art of French Cooking, which came out in 1961 with her French colleagues. And so she had this great expertise combined with this wonderfully humorous, charismatic, funny, provocative personality. And it was just a winning combination.
Okay, I want to remind listeners that you can weigh in here in this conversation. We're talking about TV and Cambridge icon Julia Child, her life and her recipes, particularly this Thanksgiving week. Are there any Julia Child recipes making it onto your Thanksgiving dinner table? Call us at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. Melissa is calling from Newton. Melissa, you're on the air.
Hi. So in 1970, I was trying to cook one of her recipes, baking bread, and I lived in Waltham, and I couldn't figure out how to get the bricks in the oven correctly. So it was the old days. I looked in the phone book. She was listed. I called her up. She explained how to set up the bricks and wished me good luck. And my bread came out great.
Oh, that's terrific. You know, there are many stories. I think I read a Boston Globe story about her where she was called the National Thanksgiving Commander-in-Chief. Alex Prudhomme, was this really? Does she always take phone calls all the time to help people?
Yeah, I was actually standing in her kitchen on several occasions when the phone would ring, and she would spend a good 10 or 15 minutes coaxing people through. I have a funny story about Thanksgiving, which is that my parents lived in rural Connecticut on a windy backcountry road, and Julia had a terrible sense of direction. And one Thanksgiving, she and her husband Paul came to visit, and of course, they got lost. And our neighbor was in her house, and the turkey wasn't going well. And she said, "Well, if only Julia Child would stop by," at which point she heard a knock on the door. opened the door and looked up to see this 6'2" woman being Julia and practically fell over. And Julia said, "Do you know where the Prudhommes live?" And she said, "Yes, I'll tell you, but if you help me with my turkey." And so Julia proceeded to help her with the turkey. And she said, "Oh, they're just down the road." So, well, she's still telling that story.
Well, we have some more stories, more remembrances from Cambridge, but this is actually from a woman in Marblehead. Now, Rebecca, you're calling from Marblehead. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, I was calling with a similar story, actually. My family lore is that my aunt was a recent college graduate in the early 70s, nannying around Boston and sort of figuring out what to do with her life. Also looked Julia Child up in the phone book and was invited to lunch. So went that moment to lunch with Julia Child at her house. And then sort of Julia Child made some connections with her in Paris, and she'd been a college French major, and she went to Paris, learned to cook, was a chef, and sort of put her on her life track.
Wow. Any recipes that you have that maybe your aunt makes now from Julia Child?
I would say my aunt is the family chef. I'm the eater.
All right. Well, Rebecca, thanks very much for calling. Julie is calling from Wakefield. Julie, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to share that I remember as a teenager watching Julia Child, my mother and I, and my mother was a fabulous cook as well. And it was just so wonderful to watch her because Julia was so real. She had such a marvelous sense of humor. She could touch the food, which many people just don't do anymore. You learned so much, and yet in a way it was almost not everyday cooking, but cooking that any person could do in their own kitchen. She was wonderful to watch. It was just a terrific show.
All right. Julie, thanks so much for sharing. You know, we do have to talk about some Thanksgiving things because she was well known for that reconstructed turkey recipe, which I have to say, Alex, I'm incredibly intimidated every time I see her do that. I mean, would you say that that was a Thanksgiving staple? And did you ever have Thanksgiving with her? What was it like?
Oh, yeah. We had Thanksgiving together. Julia was my great aunt, so, you know, she was a member of the family, and she would either come to my parents or we would go up to Cambridge. And she liked to make a very rich, creamy pumpkin soup that she would serve in an actual pumpkin. You know, the thing about Julia that I think that Julie touched on when she says that, you know, Julia touched the food, that's one of the things that really inspired her audience. She was constantly tasting and touching and, you know, whether she was slapping a turkey around or talking about how neurotic potatoes are or just constantly, you know, massaging butter into chickens. She just was very tactile and very sensory. And that was something that people hadn't seen on television before. I mean, my favorite one is there were two. One is there was a dessert that was falling apart. So she took her long fingers and just kind of smushed it together. And she said, "Oh, it'll taste better that way."
I actually think we have a piece of tape from that. That was from the 1971 episode of The French Chef where she's making that upside down apple.
Oh, well, that's a different one. But yeah, that's a great one. Okay. That's tartatin. Yeah,
tartatin. You're much better than I am here. Let's listen to this clip.
So this goes out onto the platter. That unrolled it very badly, but I'll just have to show you that it's not going to make too much difference because it's all going to fix up, but this is going to be, I think this is the kind of thing you have to expect, even if you have guests peering at you in the kitchen, because you can show how clever you are by fixing everything up.
Alex Prudhomme, Julia Child's great nephew, Julia showing us there how clever she is because she could fix everything up, even mistakes in the kitchen. But I wonder what that sort of self-deprecating tone that she took, what do you think that did for her?
Well, it brought her down to earth. I mean, her audience would call her Julia in the first person as if they knew her well. And in a sense, they did. As I said, she was very much that way in real life. And you can hear her kind of laughing at herself as she's messing around. A tartatin is a beautiful, it's pretty easy, but it's a beautiful caramelized apple dessert that you flip over, kind of like a pineapple upside down cake. And in that clip, she's flipped it over, and instead of this beautiful caramel dome, what you see is a pile of beige mush. And so she ends up just sprinkling some sugar over it, running it under the broiler, and saying, "Oh, look at that! You know, you fixed it all up. You could show your friends how clever you are." And the thing that I love about that story is years later, when she and I were working on her memoir together, she was still mad about that tartatin. She was a closet perfectionist, and She didn't like to seem unprofessional, and so she would mutter kind of conspiratorially that someone must have mislabeled the apples, as if they had done it on purpose to her. But but what's great about that clip is it was a learning moment where she showed you, look, even the great Julia Child makes mistakes, and you have to learn to expect it and, you know, never apologize, but, you know, make the best of it.
All right.
It was a great moment.
Okay, great. Yeah. I want to get some more callers in here. Joan is calling from West Yarmouth. Joan, you're on the air.
Thank you. I was working at WGBH when Julia was there, and I met her. My mother actually was a friend of her. Ruth Lockwood. She was her director, I guess. One time I was watching her on her show. And she dropped a piece of meat. I don't know whether it was a chicken or a lamb or something, but she dropped it on the floor, picked it up, and dusted it off, and went on cooking with it.
Oh, huh. Well, I know that at one point NPR said that Julia Child told them that she had never dropped a chicken.
That's what she told me. I there's many stories about her dropping a turkey or a fish or whatever. She said to me she'd never dropped anything like that. The one that she did do, which you may have seen recreated in the movie Julie and Julia, was she was making a potato pancake and it flipped out of the pan onto the stove. And she said, well, if you're alone in the kitchen, who's to know? And she just scooped it back up and put it back in. But she was very professional and she was very experienced. And you know, she wouldn't drop a steak on the floor and dust it off. I don't think that would ever happen.
I see. Let's go back to Thanksgiving menu here, because we started with pumpkin soup in the pumpkin. Tarte tatin, right, was also a classic for her. But she also had a pumpkin pie recipe that I'm told she said could not be altered, even though she was somewhat of a creative cook herself. What else might be on a Julia Child Thanksgiving table, Alex?
Oh, we might have several different kinds of cranberry sauce, a cranberry relish, always handmade. We would have stuffing with oysters in it, very rich, fantastic. That always went very quickly. Usually scalloped potatoes and cream, or maybe leeks. And, of course, a magnificent bird.
All right. Well, it sounds great. Alex Prudhomme, Julia Child's great nephew. He's the co-author of her memoir, My Life in France, and author of the new book, The French Chef in America, Julia Child's Second Act. There's more information about the book and some recipes at our website, radioboston.org. Alex Prudhomme, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Deborah. Happy Thanksgiving and bon appetit, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving. That's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.